Performing a wedding ceremony takes some skill and some certification. There's a reason you hear, "by the power vested in me," before the partners are pronounced married. Oregon has a brand new law that will allow secular organizations to allow people to perform weddings. HB 2113 got final approval and the governor's signature last week. So what does it do? Danny Tofte is the communications chair of the advisory board for the Center for Inquiry, which has a chapter in Portland, and she's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Can you give us a little background on the Center for Inquiry, CFI?
Oh, the Center for Inquiry, it's headquartered in New York, and it's been around since the 70s. It's a secular humanist organization, and I'm the communications chair of the Portland branch.
Portland branch, okay. All right. So, and understand that CFI merged with Richard Dawkins Group a few years ago.
Yes. We have many of the same goals. So the mission for the Center for Inquiry is to foster a secular society based on science and reason and freedom of inquiry and secular humanist values.
All right. So when we talk about the people who can officiate at weddings, I mean, give us the wide view first about why this is an issue when people can already be married by judges or county clerks or other non-religious figures.
Well, the U.S. as a whole is 20% non-religious. Portland is the least religious city in America, 42% unaffiliated. And we just don't have the same options that religious people do as far as religious ceremonies. We just have to take an extra step. So everyone has to get a marriage license. If you're religious, you can have your minister, your rabbi, your imam, you know, what have you, sign your marriage license, but a secular humanist can't. We have to then go to like the clerk and get that taken care of through a government agency. Mm-hmm. And so Oregon is the first state that we've passed this with no fuss, no tax dollars spent fighting it. The first state that we were successful at was Indiana, but it cost them $100,000 in tax dollars to fight this, which to me, it's in my perspective is pretty silly. Secular humanism, we're not a religious organization, but the only real difference is that we don't believe in a deity. Everything else is as far as we have a common worldview and values, very similar to a religion.
So I'm still trying to understand what it is that this seeks to do. I mean, that isn't already available. Is it that you have to go to the extra step of getting the signature from a clerk or judge?
Right. And now we don't have to. Now I can actually. So I've officiated weddings, but I can't actually sign the marriage license. In fact, I married a couple last summer, and they've held off. So now I can actually sign their license.
Even though the wedding was performed a while ago?
Yeah, last summer.
Mm-hmm.
They're the couple that actually went down to Salem to testify on this. So they've been together forever. They've been together since high school. They have a couple children, very committed. But they didn't feel right about not being able to have the kind of ceremony that everybody else can.
All right. So, what was the setting for the wedding ceremony?
Well, it was just like any other. I mean, we had it at the Gorge, in a nice place out there, and you wouldn't know that it necessarily wasn't a religious. In fact, I've done a ceremony, and I've stayed afterwards for reception, and I've had someone ask me, "So, what got you interested in becoming part of the ministry?" And I had to explain,
"I'm not a minister."
Actually. Kind of the opposite, but they didn't even notice that there wasn't any mention of a deity in the ceremony.
Huh.
Because it's still, you walk down the aisle, you have readings, songs, just like any other ceremony. There's just no mention of a god.
So, I mean, when you officiate, do you say by the power vested in me? I mean, do you include that as part of the verbiage? Is that required for that matter?
Yes, I don't think I've actually used that phrase because it sounds so, by the power vested in me.
Not truly.
But something similar, yeah. Usually I create the ceremony with the couple, and it is pretty progressive.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I can see where some of the issue is. You get to officiate the ceremony, but then it's kind of like going to mom for the permission slip after that to have somebody else sign it.
Right. And you can do silly things like go through the Universal Life Church online and get, you know, ordained. And we just didn't, we kind of held the principled stance that we don't want to be hypocrites and pretend that we're a religious organization.
All right. We're talking to Danny Tofte, who's the communications chair for the Portland chapter of the Center for Inquiry, which just succeeded in getting House Bill 2113 signed. It allows secular organizations to authorize people to perform marriages. And we'll talk about the legislative doings in a moment. You can join the conversation on the exchange and talk about secular celebrants, which we've learned you can't say too many times fast. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Steve and Eugene, welcome to the exchange.
Howdy. In France and Italy, if you want to get married, first you go down to the city hall or wherever and get your license, and then have a clerk or a judge or a mayor or whatever perform the ceremony. And then if you want to get married in the church, that's a whole separate deal. Marriage has been a sacrament ever since its inception. Now, that means sacred. That means you've got the church of some kind or a theology of some kind mixed in with the ceremony. And with the First Amendment separating church and state, it seems that we have blown away those lines.
So you're for all civil ceremonies or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All civil ceremonies instead of just in a church.
Okay. Let's get a response on that from Danny. Thanks for that, Steve. Danny, any thoughts?
You know, if it's the same for everybody, I guess. That's our stance. I mean, before this law was passed, you could be the high priestess of the Church of Satan and solemnize a marriage. But I couldn't solemnize a marriage as a secular humanist. So I guess I agree with Steve if it's the same for everybody. I do believe that marriage predates religion. I don't think marriage is owned by religion necessarily.
So I noticed that CFI, the Center for Inquiry, has a training program for secular celebrants. What kinds of skills are incorporated in the training?
Just like, I guess, what you would imagine, you know, going over different scripts and practicing and just getting your skills down so you feel comfortable and you walk away with a binder of, you know, because it's not even just wedding ceremonies. We also, you know, do memorial services and the like.
So does this ultimately come down to just an issue of the celebrant, or are there any other issues tied in here, from the venue of the wedding to cakes or anything else?
No, just being able to solemnize, because everything else is pretty much the same, right? You know, we can have a wedding cake. We haven't had any bakeries object to making a cake for a secular humanist.
So you mentioned that Indiana spent how much money, or somebody spent how much money in Indiana fighting this?
The state of Indiana had to pay the ACLU $100,000, not to mention their legal costs. So that was just, you know, reimbursing the ACLU, which we worked with to get this passed.
What is the usual nature of the opposition? I mean, what's the usual complaint about this should not happen?
You know, it's funny, and I don't quite understand this, but it's become a partisan issue. It seems like they can make anything a partisan issue on the Hill. And it was looked at as a liberal issue, and the conservatives didn't want to cede any ground to secularists.
Was there a sense that all of a sudden these people who wanted religious weddings would all of a sudden have to have a secular humanist do the ceremony instead or something?
No. It was kind of seen, I guess, as people were afraid it would seem anti-Christian. Again, it seems kind of silly to me. But even in Oregon, it was voted on by party lines. So it was all Democrats except for one who voted for it. And then all Republicans, except for a few, voted against it.
So in fact, you had tried to get the bill passed in previous legislative sessions, and it did it not get to the floor, or did it get rejected on the floor? What happened?
Well, yeah, we first, Center for Inquiry first introduced the first bill 2015, and we actually did get 35 votes to pass it, but we just ran out of time in legislative session is all. So I'm pretty sure it would have made it, but, you know, just priorities.
All right, so it wasn't high on the list. And, in fact, in this session, you mentioned that people did vote against it. The vote was 39-21 in the Oregon House and 17-13 in the Senate, which is a relatively close vote. I mean, so who did you – I mean, did you go through the usual legislative process where there were hearings and committees and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, just like your regular bill.
And so what did you say in hearings?
Well, the regular arguments that I just gave you were basically laid out, and then, of course, we had the witnesses, you know, come to testify, you know, the couple, to explain why it was important to them. It's one of the most important days of your entire life. You want it to be reflective of, you know, your values, and so we've been trying by, you know, state by state. Indiana was the first state, and that's because our secular celebrant trainer happens to live in Indiana. Passed it just a couple months ago in Illinois, and they did not fight it because they're in the same circuit court as Indiana.
The federal circuit court.
They figure, well, it's a lost cause. Now we're trying to get it passed in Ohio and Michigan. And it looks like they might fight it because they're in a different circuit. Hopefully now that they see that Oregon has passed it, and so it's kind of a, you know, an inevitable domino effect, hopefully, that they'll come around and not waste tax dollars on fighting this. Because to me, it's just kind of a, of course, this is my perspective, but it's a no-brainer for me.
So you mentioned the trainer for your secular celebrants is from Indiana. Is there just one?
Yes. And she was a clergy for the American Humanist Association. So the Humanist Association of America, they took the stance where they actually went through and declared themselves a religion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would that actually made it easier then?
So she could actually officiate and solemnize a marriage. But she became the center director for our branch there in Indiana, and so kind of gave up that status so there wasn't a conflict of interest. But then she could no longer solemnize marriages. And so we tried to pass law. They didn't like us, so we took him to court.
So that's the interesting part, though, is that, you know, even if you go through the Universal Life Church, as you pointed out online, and get the paperwork there, get ordained, I mean, so you can become an officiant that way through a religion. So it's actually easier for religion than for somebody secular.
It's easier for a hypocrite, yes.
I can't imagine much is involved in the training. I mean, here's how you perform a ceremony and all that stuff. But the part that just makes it official and legally binding with the signing of the marriage certificate probably takes about 15 seconds. You don't have to get a notary public stamp or anything, do you?
No. Interesting. Like Florida is one state where you can have a notary solemnize your marriage, but you can't do that in most states, including Oregon. So that's another way that a state might get around this issue.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you said Illinois passed it. Ohio and Michigan might go next. Any other states in the West that are considering secular officiants, secular celebrants?
Well, we're just taking it a state at a time. So that's kind of where we're at, with the next being Michigan and Ohio. And that decision, again, is because we have a really strong branch in Michigan who can, you know, be the feet on the ground for this.
So when does the law take effect? I can't imagine they declared an emergency and said it's in effect now. Or did they?
You know, oh gosh, there is a date. And I apologize. I can't remember what that date is.
All right. So now you can have essentially a secular humanist officiate at the wedding and be able to sign the marriage license, too. And that's the major impact of House Bill 2113.
Exactly.
All right. Danny Tofte is the communications chair for the Portland chapter of the Center for Inquiry. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey.